Welcome to Slovakia Today, the English broadcast of Radio Slovakia International. I'm your host, Jonathan McCormick, for this Tuesday edition of the program, and with me is Marian Petraš at the sound desk. You're listening to us on 98.9 FM in Bratislava, 102.9 FM in Senets, via satellite or shortwave radio around the world, or on the internet at www.rsi.sk. In today's program, are cryptocurrencies the wave of the future, or a risky game that will eventually go out of fashion?
People who are betting on Bitcoin being able to store their wealth, they're taking a risk, as is anyone who saves in US dollars or euros.
We talk with a local Bratislava expert in the field. And later in the show, what exactly did this Bratislava pastor have in mind when he was establishing a new Sunday congregation?
So we were dreaming about a place where kind of punk type of church, which much more looks like a club than cathedral.
All this plus a bit of good Slovak music. Enjoy.
Radio Slovakia International.
Most of us have a kind of faith, without questioning it too much, that the money we own, whether it be euros, US dollars, or any other state-backed currency, has a certain value and will continue to have that value, more or less, on into the future. But there are also many voices who warn us that it is risky, for example, to keep all your savings in one currency, since any such currency can suddenly and unexpectedly lose most of its value, and that the banking system itself is inherently unstable, as the 2008 financial crisis demonstrated. But if we don't fully trust the current system of money and exchange, what other options are available? Okay, I'm standing in front of a cash machine, the kind we're all familiar with, and I'm going to take out some euros from my own account. I put in my card, tell the machine I speak English, type in my PIN. Okay. And the amount I want. Would you like a receipt? No. Take my card out. And here comes the paper money. Beautifully printed euro notes that I can use in any shop. This is the kind of money we're all familiar with. And it's what this story is not about. So then, what is this story about? For the past 10 years, and partly driven by the financial crisis itself, there has been growing interest in alternative currencies, often called cryptocurrencies, that are neither backed by any state nor part of the current banking system. You've no doubt heard of Bitcoin, the first and most well-known of these, but by now there are many such currencies on the market, as well as methods of storing and using them. To try to make some sense of this new and complex world of alternative money, I sat down with a local Bratislava expert in the field,
Juraj Bednar,
and asked him to explain just what a cryptocurrency such as Bitcoin is and how it differs from the kind of money we are all familiar with.
Bitcoin is the first decentralized cryptocurrency, and cryptocurrency is an electronic unit of account and medium exchange. So you could think about it as euro or US dollar, but it's not issued by a central bank, so that means that's decentralized. Most currencies these days are centralized, so they are issued by either Federal Reserve or European Central Bank or many other central banks. So the innovation of Bitcoin is that its inventor found a way to create this kind of currency that can be sent electronically and is decentralized. We also have a decentralized hard money, which is probably gold. Gold is not issued by a central bank. It's a metal, it's a physical thing, but then you have this problem that it's very hard to send a piece of metal through a fiber optic cable or a satellite connection. So Bitcoin is both decentralized and electronic. So it's a currency. Cryptocurrency means that it's using cryptography to achieve all these properties.
How does it work exactly? If I want to buy some bitcoins or exchange some dollars or euros for bitcoins, where are these bitcoins? Where are they stored? Are they on a computer somewhere? Are they on my smartphone? How does that work?
Where they are is a difficult question, so I'll first contrast it to how a bank transfer or credit card transfer works. So with a bank transfer, you instruct your bank to send some money to a different account. It can be in the same bank or in a different bank. So what happens is that the bank creates an entry in a ledger that says that, for example, your account balance is 100 euros less. And then it communicates to the other bank and they will credit these 100 euros to a different account. So what Bitcoin does is that this ledger, this information about what are the balances of users, is not in any particular central bank, but all the participants in the network agree on the ledger. So any computer that participates in the network, they have the full copy of the ledger if they're full participants. So to the question where it is, it's on thousands of computers because there's just an entry that says that this person has a particular balance. The problem is, of course, if this information is public, who can make a transaction? Who can instruct this decentralized network to send some Bitcoin to someone else? And this is using cryptography, in particular electronic signatures. So right now you can create mathematical proof that you own a particular Bitcoin by signing an instruction, which is a transfer request. So it basically says, please send one Bitcoin from me to someone else.
And how does it know who I am and who the someone else is? How does it identify people?
There is no concept of identity of people, so you don't create an account with an email address or a login or something like that. The way it works is you generate a random key and you can securely compute an address, which is like an account number from this. So there is no me because I can have thousands of addresses. In fact, when you do Bitcoin transactions, you usually give a different account number to everyone so you can identify who paid you. So basically, you can generate an address for you, then you store the key that belongs to this address, and by having this key, you can sign the transactions from this particular account.
So if I understand you right, you can have a key that identifies you. And there are transactions on this network that everybody can see. And then who these transactions are owned by or who this balance belongs to is not identified as a person, but only as this key. And anybody looking at this ledger can say that this person, whoever it is, this key, has this much credit in his Bitcoin account. Is that a good summary of it?
It's a very good summary. The only thing is that you normally don't see how many addresses do I have. When you create a new wallet, it will generate hundreds of addresses for you. So if my account number in a bank would be revealed, then all the transactions coming to the bank account is identified and it's possible to pair the account number and my identity. In Bitcoin, all the transactions are public or all the balances are public. So you can see balance on any address. You can see when money arrived, how much arrived, when it left the account. But you don't necessarily know all my account numbers because I can have hundreds of them. So in this way, Bitcoin is 100% transparent in the ledger. Everyone can see the ledger. But it's pseudonymous, so it's not anonymous. If someone identifies that this is your account, they can track the movement of money in the ledger because it's public, but there are no identities like names or anything like that.
But of course, not everyone agrees that cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin are a good thing. One of the things that critics often point out is the fact that such currencies are completely unregulated either by the state or the banking sector. Martina Solčanjová of the Národná banka Slovenska, or Slovak Central Bank, provided me with the following written statement from the central bank itself, warning of the dangers of what they call virtual currencies. The statement reads, in part,
"The Slovak Central Bank issues this warning to inform the general public that virtual currencies, such as the so-called Bitcoin, are not national currencies. As such, they are not subject to national regulation. Activities related to virtual currencies are not recognized or defined in European or Slovak law, nor are they regulated or supervised by the Slovak Central Bank or the European Central Bank. In this regard, the Slovak Central Bank would like to inform the public that virtual currencies are not backed by any physical legal tender, and participation in any virtual currency scheme is at the participant's own risk. Investors engaging or buying virtual currencies run their own business risk, and their money is not protected in any way. Compensation claims for losses arising out of any such exchange or purchase are not legitimate.
The risk of such losses are real enough, a fact that Juraj Bednar and other cryptocurrency enthusiasts readily acknowledge. When I asked Juraj about this, he explained that since such currencies are designed to be decentralized, meaning there is no trusted third party like a bank that processes each transaction for you, there is likewise no one that you can go to for help if your money is lost or stolen. This means that all the responsibility for maintaining security in the system lies with the users of the system themselves, who must educate themselves on the various security measures available and know how to use them.
So right now you can store your keys to your wallet either on your phone by installing a cryptocurrency wallet. Another option is having it on your computer. Both of these options are not very safe for storing a lot of money, because when your phone or computer is either stolen or hacked or has malware, then someone could steal the keys and then steal your money. So these days what people do is they use special devices called hardware wallets. This is a device that generates the keys. It allows you to sign the transactions, but it will never send the key out of the device. So then your second question is also good. What if the device breaks? What if I lose my phone? What if I lose access to my cryptocurrency wallet? So, of course, you need a backup. And most wallets, if not all, will force you to make one. So it's not even optional.
There is another concern, however, that the central bank didn't mention in their statement, but has often been raised by critics. What if Bitcoin as a currency doesn't last? Is there any reason I should believe that it will still be around and retain its value in 10 or 20 years?
As with any investment, anything can happen. So I think that people who are betting on Bitcoin being able to store their wealth, they're taking a risk, as is anyone who saves in US dollars or euros. Actually, we know that state currencies are not very good at keeping value. The inflation is pretty high. For example, the US dollar lost 95% of its value since it's unpegged from gold.
The long lost dollar has come back to the fold. With silver, you can turn your dreams to gold. We're in the money, we're in the money. We've got a lot of what it takes to get along. We're in the money, the sky is sunny. Old man depression, you are through, you done us wrong. We never see headline about red line.
But yeah, there are a lot of people that made a lot of money by buying Bitcoin and, you know, just holding it until the price went up. And people who didn't do that, they usually complain that, you know, they didn't do anything and now they're rich. But that's not true, because they risked, because they invested in something that was not valuable and they were betting that it would be. But this risk continues. So if someone buys it now, it can go up, but it can lose all its value.
That was Juraj Bednar, cryptocurrency specialist and co-founder of Paralelna Polis in Prague and Bratislava, the first ever cafe in the world where you can pay for your coffee only with a cryptocurrency.